Morning, Oregon, and happy Friday. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you enjoy the show today. This story was first published on January 5th of 2025 under the headline, Did Primitive Hug Point Road Save Our Beaches? Here we go. Sometime around 1908, a resident of South Clatsop County, probably from the hamlet of Arch Cape, got sick and tired of dealing with Hug Point and decided to do something about it. It was a decision that had some unintended consequences because it led directly to the law that made Oregon's beaches public property. Of course, the anonymous road builder, or maybe road builders, wasn't thinking of anything so grandiose at the time. He was simply tired of having to wait for low tide and then wade into the surf or drive his team into the surf to get from Arch Cape to Cannon Beach. And yes, everyone used the beach to get back and forth from Arch Cape to Cannon Beach and from Seaside to Astoria. In most cases, there were no other roads. Inland, especially in the south part of the county, road building was very difficult and expensive because of thick forests and steep rocky terrain. So everyone used the beach to get from place to place. And Hug Point, well, it was just really inconveniently located, sticking out across the whole beach and towering several hundred feet high. It was named Hug Point because you had to hug the point as you worked your way around it with the surf around your ankles, if you were lucky, knees if you weren't. Anyway, this person, with hammer and cold chisel and probably no small amount of dynamite, chipped and blasted a roadbed through the face of Hug Point. After that, even in very stormy weather with high and boisterous surf, the mail could get through, travelers could get home without getting their feet wet, usually, and owners of those newfangled horseless carriages ran much less risk of getting stuck in the sand with the tide coming in to ruin their cars. The custom of using the beach to travel had developed right from the beginning in Clatsop County, and after some beachfront landowners had tried to block free access up and down the beach in the 1890s, the state legislature had actually passed a law making Clatsop County's beaches public highways. It wasn't really a controversial move. It only affected one county, and everyone who lived in that county except one or two landowners recognized the importance of being able to walk or ride up and down the beach unmolested. Legislators from other counties were happy to give Clatsop what it wanted, and residents of places like Arch Cape no doubt breathed a sigh of relief when it passed. More importantly, though, that law meant that our road-building benefactor, while blasting the road through Hug Point, could rest assured that he wasn't going to have to deal with some angry putative landowner ordering him off quote-unquote his property, or that his act of civic generosity would be immediately seized by a landowner eager to reap where he had not sowed by charging a toll to use it, despite having done none of the work on it. Or worse, to simply exclude the public from using it entirely. Nope, thanks to the law, this citizen was free to solve the problem for everyone, and the whole community benefited. And as a side benefit, every Clatsop County resident was free to come to the beach and play in the surf and have a picnic and admire the scenery, whether they owned beachfront property or not. So there things stood for a few years, with residents of Arch Cape gratefully crossing Hug Point on the newly blasted roadbed, doubtless glancing occasionally at the tossing surf and murmuring a quick word of thanks that they didn't have to plunge into it like they had back in the older times. Then came the election of 1912, and Oregon elected Democrat Oswald West as governor. West was elected in part on a promise to preserve Oregon beaches for public use rather than letting them be carved up in land claims by private owners. It was a fight that Clatsop County had already had, as West knew well. He was a regular visitor there. Now, he thought, it was time to stand on the shoulders of those giants and use their plan to preserve the rest of the state's beaches. It's crystal clear that West wasn't nearly as interested in the beach's potential as highways as he was in the scenic beauty and recreational potential, but there was also an element of the range warrior spirit about the stand he was taking. Property owners' claims that they should be allowed to convert the publicly owned beaches into private property were, so to speak, a new stanza of an old familiar song for West. He'd grown up watching swindlers and corporations poaching giant blocks of state-owned land, some of it very valuable and scenic indeed, through wagon road hustles, land grant swindles, and fake homesteader schemes with the help of friendly politicians in Salem and Washington. D.C., that is, not the state. He had built his reputation stopping the same crafty characters from actively stealing state-owned school lands. He saw the Oregon beaches as the next step in this public land conversion racket, and he really wanted to stop it. There was a difference, though. Landowners on the coast weren't stealing anything. They had legitimate legal land claims on beachfront property. Legally, there was nothing, yet, to stop them from blocking public access and thereby cutting off any neighbors who used the beach to reach the outside world, except for a waterfront version of range custom. Except in Clatsop County, where it was now the law of the land. There was another factor West was thinking about, too. That was the Good Roads Movement. It had acquired a great deal of momentum in Oregon as wealthier residents had started purchasing automobiles and were finding them very difficult to use on the rutty, stumpy, muddy tracks that passed for roads throughout most of the state. Nearly everyone in the state was all in favor of good roads. By 1912, most Oregonians were also all too aware of the benefits that had come from Samuel Lancaster's work up in Washington following Seattle's Alaska-Yukon-Pacific Exposition 3 years earlier. In the early 1910s, when it came to good roads, it really was true that if you build it, they will come. Everyone knew it. For Oregon to grow its economy into the 20th century, it would need a good network of roads suitable for use by driven-wheel vehicles, bicycles, cars, etc., things that required traction to go, as well as by horse-drawn vehicles. And horses, of course. So Oswald West brought these two constituencies together in his proposal to extend Clatsop County's road law all the way south to California. "I pointed out that thus we would come into miles and miles of highway without cost to the taxpayer," he recalled in a 1949 interview. "The legislature and the public took the bait, hook, line, and sinker." So, the question of the day is, would that have worked had the public, or rather the most politically active parts of it, not seen with their own eyes how well the beach highway law was serving Clatsop County? Speaking for myself, I doubt it. A canny politician, West could see that he would have two main sources of resistance to his plan: landowners to the south and libertarian-leaning plutocrats who felt that government should meddle as little as possible in other people's property interests. As West well knew, he could do nothing to counter resistance from landowners with beachfront property to the south. But in 1912, particularly because it was so hard to reach those places, there just weren't very many of them. Other than settlements at the mouths of major rivers and bays like Tillamook and Newport and Marshfield, the Oregon coast was almost a wilderness area. As for the libertarian plutocrats, well, most of those living in Portland and Salem areas had at least once vacationed in Clatsop County and benefited personally from having a legal right to access the beaches there. And at Hug Point, the hand-cut roadbed became Exhibit A in the case for Beaches Highway. Would the anonymous benefactor have invested the time and dynamite to make that road if he hadn't had the protection of the law? Of course not. So when West came before the legislature to make the case that the state should claim a right of passage along all the beaches, defined as the strip of wet sand between the low and high tide marks, he got very little resistance indeed. To be sure, the landowners with beachfront property were mostly defiant, but as noted, there just weren't very many of them. And that actually had a lot to do with the problem the beach highway scheme would directly address. There was no way to access their property. The law was passed, duly signed into law in 1913, and the rest is history. But the whole debate might have gone down in flames if it had not been for Clatsop County and the anonymous benefactor who blasted that road into the side of Hug Point. Key sources in this story included an article by Robert W. Hadlow from August 11, 2022 in the Oregon Encyclopedia, an article by Lori Tobias published in the February 13, 2013 issue of the Portland Oregonian, an article by Bob Attia published in the February 12, 2023 issue of the Cannon Beach Gazette, and a book by Ralph Friedman, In Search of Western Oregon, 1978, Caxton Press. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. And by the way, if you haven't yet, check out our Offbeat Oregon books. They're a lot like these columns, only expanded and updated to take advantage of a less restrictive format. We've got Heroes and Rascals of Old Oregon, Love, Sex, and Murder in Old Oregon, Bad Ideas and Horrible People in Old Oregon, and eventually the plan is for 8 of them to be out, although how many there are out right now depends on when you hear this. They're a lot of fun and would look great on your bookshelf. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our hub page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do or to find the full citations and visuals that go with today's show. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Offbeat Oregon History episodes are uploaded every weekday morning at around 6 a.m., so it'll be a couple of days before you get your next fix. But of course, Monday morning will be here before we know it. And that's the latest news from here in Offbeat Oregon's Sulphur Springs studio. So now it's time for you and me both to go out there and fill up the rest of the day and the weekend with good stuff. Bye now.